أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم محمد. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد، في كتاب مكنون، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنا أرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبينا أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات الله محمد وعليه. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Most Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, whose worth cannot be described by any speaker, whose bounties cannot be numbered by any calculator. Allah's power, knowledge and wisdom cannot be described by any description. Even if you were to take all the trees in this world and make them into pens, and the oceans make them into ink, these will still not suffice to describe the knowledge, power and wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge and power is such that it's unlike any other knowledge and power. And His knowledge is also such that there is not a taint of ignorance. And His power is such that there is not a shade of weakness. Allah is also such that there is not a thing in this universe that can either escape Him or frustrate Him. On that note, scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, Salaamu Alaikum. Yesterday, in our lecture, we were focusing on some of the significant factors that led to the uprising of our third holy Imam, Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. We looked at some of the other factors, like for example, the allegiance that Imam Hussein was asked to give to Yazid, the Mal'un, and Yazid refused, as you know the reason why. And also the invitation from the Kufans to the Imam to come and set up a governorship in Kufa after the death of Muawiyah. These were all the factors that led to the uprising, but they were not the significant factor, as I mentioned. So the significant factor that we discussed yesterday was the issue of enjoining good and forbidding evil. So keep that in your mind. Now, today we are going to look at another factor which led to the uprising from the Quranic perspective. And this is a verse which appears in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse number 72. Now remember, we have been recommended by our imams, the later imams who came after Imam Al-Hussein, that on the day of Ashura, it is highly recommended to recite Surah Al-Ahzab. Now, we've been reciting this for years and years and years. And I was wondering, what is the significance? When I asked the question, why are we reciting Surah Al-Ahzab? He said, the surah is very powerful. But all the surahs are powerful. We all know that. The whole Quran is a powerful book because it came as a revelation from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I started investigating into this surah, and I was very curious to know the tafsir of this surah. When I started reading the tafsir of this surah, I said, amazing! It's amazing! And most of us recite this surah on the day of Ashura without pondering over the verses. Now, we don't have the time to talk about this whole surah, but inshallah, I will try to bring in some verses and make a connection with the message of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa alayhi. This verse that I began with is from Surah Al-Ahzab. Inna aradana al-amana ala samawati wal-ard wal-jibal. Commentators have said this is the most fascinating verse in the Quran. The most fascinating. That today, they find it very difficult to explain this the way it should be explained. Different commentators have their different opinions about this verse. You know, the question here is, what is this trust that Allah has offered to the heavens and the earth and the mountains that they refused? Now let me read that translation for the benefit of the audience. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Verily, indeed, we offer the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, but they refused to bear it and were afraid of it. But men undertook it. Men undertook it. Verily, he was unjust and ignorant. Now, pay attention. Here Allah is saying the end sentence. The reason why men took the trust which was offered to them, the same trust was offered to the heavens and the mountains and the earth, they refused. But men took it. And Allah gives us the reason why men took it. Why? Because he was unjust and ignorant. Most of the time we don't pay attention to the past tenses and the present tenses in the Quran. Very, very crucial. I'll give you an example. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. See, many people are saying, you know, Iblis was a worshipper of Allah for 5,000 years. Just because he refused to prostrate to Adam, he became a disbeliever. This is what people say, most of the people say. But the verse does not say that. The verse never mentions that Iblis was a worshipper. Probably he was a worshipper for some time, I don't know. But according to this verse, Allah says, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He was. So in other words, Allah is drawing our attention to the reason why Iblis refused to prostrate. One reason, Aba was stuck, but he was filled with pride. And that's the same problem we are having. We have so much pride in us. Now Allah did not condemn him just because of that action. No. Allah says he was a disbeliever. It is the state of his disbelief that led to him refusing to prostrate to Adam. Salawat Allah Muhammad. So what I was trying to emphasize here is the past tense. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He was a disbeliever. Now here Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Man accepted the trust because he was unjust and ignorant. Just try to follow me because this is not easy. This verse is not that easy to explain. And I'll show you how I'm going to make the connection of this verse to Karbala. Very interesting. Question. Sorry. You know, this verse is so amazing. That's why I'm getting a little emotional. Very amazing verse. Question. The first thing we need to find out, what is this trust that the heavens and the earth and the mountains refused, but mankind accepted it? Now, as I mentioned, the Quran tells us that if there is any question in the Quran that you come up from reading verses in the Quran, the answer is where? MashaAllah. Why? Because Allah says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ كِتَابٍ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we have revealed this book explaining therein everything. Even if a human being came up with a question 1,000 years from today, a human being existing 1,000 years from today, imagine, think about it. If he came up with a question 1,000 years from today, the answer of that question is in this book. SubhanAllah. So we are trying to find out what is the trust, right? Now look. Look at our problem today when we read the Quran. When we read the Quran, we just read the verse. We don't even understand the context of the verse. And we find the answer from the verse. You know, when we give the answer to certain verses, we say, brother, what is the meaning of this verse? Or rather, this verse poses a question. Like for example, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ. So we're saying, who are these people who are purified? Now, you know what? Let's read the verse again. Yes, I think, you know, this is what the verse means. You are basing your answer from the same verse. But that's not the way the Quran is read. The Quran, like Imam Ali alayhi salam says, that each verse talks to each other. Every verse in the Quran talks to each other. They verify each other, they talk. So I need to pull a verse to explain what is a trust. But look, Allah did not want us to go too far from this verse. The answer is in the next verse. Verse number 73. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Now, let me explain you something very interesting. Whenever you see a verse which ends with some of the attributes of Allah, I'll give you a hint. Okay? I'll share something very interesting with you. This is not my point of discussion, but since, you know, this verse has ended with two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll give you an interesting hint. Another example. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Another two attributes. Right? Now look. There is a meaning to this verse, to every verse in the Quran. Whenever Allah ends the verse with His attributes, these attributes are to be used as the key to open the meaning of the verse. Like for example, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah was able to create create death and life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Why? Because He is Al-Aziz. And He put us through a test because He is Al-Ghafoor. So now you understand the whole system. You know, I'm not talking about that verse, but I'm just giving an example. Here Allah says, Allah is forgiving and merciful. Right? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. So what is a trust? According to this verse, it shows, and this verse is talking about whom? Is it talking about the heavens? Is it talking about the mountains? Or is it talking about the earth? Or is it talking about men? It's talking about men. So it shows, therefore, that only mankind, has the potential of acquiring three attributes. Either you become a disbeliever, which includes becoming a hypocrite, because a hypocrite is actually, in reality, a disbeliever. You know, he changes like a chameleon. When he is with a believer, he says, I'm with you. When he is with a disbeliever, he says, I'm with you. In reality, he's not with the believers, he's with the disbeliever. But he just wants to enjoy some benefits. So when he is with the believers, he says, I'm with you. Right? So only man has the potential of becoming either a disbeliever or a mushrik, a polytheist, believing in many gods, like the pagans of Mecca. Or there's a third attribute, a believer. Now, when you look at a mountain, there is a mountain, for example, here in Seattle, right? What do you call the mountain here? Whatever. Okay, let's say Mount Kenya. I come from Kenya, so I have to be patriotic, you know. I still love my country. Mount Kenya. Can I say, when I look at Mount Kenya, I say, Mount Kenya, you are a hypocrite. Can I say that? Or Mount Kenya, you are a believer. No. Mount Kenya or Mount Kilimanjaro, our neighbor, Tanzania, you are a hypocrite or you are a polytheist. No. But can I turn to a man like Yazid and say, you are a disbeliever? Yes. So it shows, therefore, that only man has the potential of acquiring either one of these three attributes. Either you are a disbeliever, or you are a polytheist, or you are a believer. Now, why did the mountains refuse, therefore? The reason why the mountains refused to take responsibility of this trust, we don't know what the trust is yet, but we are arriving to the conclusion. And in order for us to arrive to the conclusion, it's not just superficially reading the verse and you say, I think the trust is this. Many people have given their opinions about the trust, and we'll look at a few of the opinions. You'll see how it's easily rejected after understanding some of the deeper meanings of the verse itself. So why did the mountains refuse? Right away we can make a conclusion, a preliminary conclusion, that it appears, therefore, that the reason why the mountains, the earth, and the heavens refused to bear the trust is because they did not have the potential of achieving one of these three attributes. preliminary, not final. Give me a salawat. And it appears that the reason why men accepted the trust, this whatever the trust is because only they had the potential of attaining one of these three attributes: a believer, a polytheist, or a disbeliever, or a hypocrite. So far, this is just preliminary, right? Now, let's look at some of the commentaries available on this verse from the Sunni perspective and from the Shia perspective, and you'll see which one makes sense. And then we will make the connection to the uprising of Imam Hussein in an amazing way. But after we do that, inshallah, we will look into some of the conditions for entering Jannah and how we can actually fulfill those conditions by such a gathering that we have tonight and every night until the day of Ashura and after Ashura, the aftermath. Right? We will look at how we can attain those conditions from such gathering. So one of the explanations given by a commentator, I won't actually mention who the commentator is, right? I will just, for the sake of brevity, I will not mention the name. The brother is looking at me and saying, I don't know what he is up to. One commentator saying that probably this trust is the belief in Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. That there is no God. And your God is one God. La ilaha illallah. Your God is one God. Remember, I didn't say your God is one, because it would actually mean a numerical sense. And your God is one God. Tawheed. Why this explanation is rejected? By the way, it is rejected. You know why? Because Allah says in many surahs in the Quran, يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Is the heavens and the earth included? Yes. Because that's the meaning of يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ. Now, imagine, especially the young brothers and sisters, imagine the heavens are doing tasbih. Can you imagine that? Subhanallah, right? The earth is doing everything in this universe. يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا. No exception. Including the atheist who claims that God does not exist. Why? Because he is still looking for the proof of God's existence. Look, Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam Hussein also, I believe, say the same thing according as reported. He says to Allah, he said, oh Allah, mata ghibta? When are you ever absent? When are you ever absent? That we have to look for the proof of your existence. When are you ever absent? And as another imam said, God is before any before, and after any after. And if you were to go further, you can say, God is before any before, even before that before. And he's after any after, even after that after. Salawat ala Muhammad. So the mountains, the atheists, everyone is doing tasbih. What is this tasbih? How come then they come to us and say we don't believe in God? This is tasbih from the creative perspective, not from the legislative perspective. What's the difference between the two? Creative is innate in a human being. Every human being has been informed about his Lord. This is the mercy of God. He wants you to worship him. Imagine, he has already informed you who he is. But how come we don't remember him? You know how? Because our soul has been stained with the material world. We are busy with cars and houses and money and stock market. I'm not saying you should not work. But we need to strike a balance. Imagine a person who has been created, okay, for spiritual and material purposes. Because man is comprising of two parts, the body and the soul, right? You'll find in the Western countries, the society itself is only catering for our material development, the development of our body. We go for bodybuilding, we play basketball, we want to look tough, we want to look like Tarzan. So no one bullies us on the streets, right? Look at me. I mean, if I go to New York City and if I say something wrong to someone, they will just slap me and I'll die. We are busy with material development. And I'm not saying it is wrong. I'm not saying we should not develop our body. No, we need to look fit. We need to look healthy. We need to look clean. We need to look groomed. Right? We need to cut our nails, you know, and make ourselves look, because Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, we gave you so much honor and dignity. But don't go on behaving like an animal on the street. You know, I wish I had more time. When we say insan, mankind is ashraful makhlukat, is the best of the creation. When Allah discusses, I want you all, I don't have the time, because if I had the time, I would have discussed these verses. Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 12 to 14, discusses about reproduction, how man was created and how reproduction takes place. Believe me, if you read these verses, you will cry. Why? Because it proves that God has given us so much honor. So much that we should not abuse ourselves and we should not abuse others around us. So much honor. That after discussing the process of reproduction, Allah says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. He congratulates himself. He says, blessed is he, the best of the creators. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Mountains, the heavens and the earth are doing tasbih. So the trust is not tawheed, because tasbih involves tawheed. So why did they refuse it while they are doing it? It doesn't make sense that they would refuse to bear the trust if they are glorifying God in its creative perspective, not in its legislative. Legislative is what we are saying. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. We are required. Allah has put that innate in every living thing and non-living things, that you glorify. يُسَبِّهُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. But we therefore, after that, we are supposed to glorify him, is to strike a balance between the spiritual and the material. When human beings are made up of the soul and the body, we should not only take care of our body, with the body building and everything, we should take care of our soul. Because Allah says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَهَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ حَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. He swears by the soul which he made perfect as a tool for us to sit in this trial exam. And he inspired in this soul what is right and what is wrong. And then Allah says, successful, indeed, the successful is the one who purifies it. And the failure is the one who corrupts it. This is the purpose of our existence. So if we... Now, if those who are successful are those who purify the soul. Therefore, would you say that man should strictly involve himself with material desires? No. He should also be concerned about his spiritualness. And having said this, we should now go forward and see how this verse is explained. So the trust is not tawheed. Now, is the trust, another commentator said, the trust is that God offered the truth and the realities of this whole universe, the truth. Nothing else but the truth to the mountains, the heavens, the earth, and man. The mountains rejected, they refused to bear the trust, if the truth is the trust, and the man accepted. And then he said, he was ignorant and unjust. He was unjust, right, and ignorant. And he now, why would then human beings, after having accepted the truth and after having known the truth, why would they be ignorant if they know the truth? If the trust is the truth, then we are saying that they were given the truth. So they were given the knowledge, right? Why would they be ignorant then? They would not be ignorant. And not only that, after knowing the truth, why would they become a disbeliever or a polytheist and nothing else but a believer? But Allah says, when Allah says that He will punish the hypocrites, what does it prove? Doesn't it prove that the possibility of hypocrites existing is there? Otherwise, God would not mention. If hypocrites would not exist in this universe or in this earth, would God ever mention that He will punish the hypocrites if they did not exist? No. If disbelievers did not exist, if no one would have become a disbeliever, God would not even have a verse in the Quran saying, I will punish the disbelievers, because the possibility does not exist. But because they will become disbelievers and they will become polytheists, that is why God is threatening them with a punishment. That if you become a disbeliever and you become a hypocrite, you will face, or a polytheist, you will face the punishment. So the trust is not the truth. What is a trust? Right? And there are many other commentaries. But if you look at Tafsir al-Mizan, the greatest tafsir that's available today. And I mention this again. One of the famous scholars, the student of Allama Tabattabai, the author of Al-Mizan, Ayatullah Mutahhari. You know what he's saying? It will take our people hundreds of years to realize the value of this tafsir. So he says, you know what the trust is? The trust is the responsibility to represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth, offered to men. God gave us a responsibility to every human being, that I am creating you with this responsibility. You are going to represent me on the earth. You are going to manifest my attributes. And with this responsibility, you have the potential of perfecting your soul, purifying your soul. Not only that, with this responsibility, you have an amazing ability to put society in perfection. Our society, in perfection, having the unique comprehension of the religion of Islam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. It's a responsibility. Now, why did man accept it? God gives us the reason. Now you know the trust, right? I'm not going to go too much because I don't have the time. I didn't know it's 9 o'clock, my God. Did I speak for half an hour then? I don't even know. But anyway, you know the trust. The trust is the responsibility to represent God on the earth. And not only that, to perfect our existence so that we become believers and enjoy the mercy of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter. And not face the consequences of being unfaithful to the trust, and face the consequences of the punishment as described in the verse itself. Right? Now, Allah says in this verse that the reason why man accepted it is because he was unjust and ignorant. That's true. By nature, we were created unjust and ignorant. Now look, this is another topic, but I'll give you an example. In the story of Adam and his wife, in the garden was not the everlasting garden, because remember, everlasting means no one is driven out. Because they were driven out after eating from the tree, it proves therefore that it was not an everlasting garden. It was a garden in this world, right? So there are two verses that I'm going to quote. It's a long story about Adam and his wife. Some people say he committed a sin. He ate from the tree, he made a mistake, and he asked for forgiveness. God forgives him, Allah forgives him, but then he drives him out of the garden, okay? I'm not going to talk about the issue of sinlessness in detail, but I'll just give you an example. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says to Adam after placing him in the garden, and that event took place after Iblis refused to prostrate to Adam. When he refused, right? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ, you know the verse. And then he tells him, لَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, the demonstrative pronoun, this, pointing to the tree. Do not approach this tree. If you do, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you will be of the unjust. Now pay attention, I'm trying to explain the word unjust, okay? Because here we are talking about man accepting the trust because he was unjust. So Allah says to Adam, do not approach this tree because you will be of the unjust, right? In Surah Al-Taha, again, you see now how we try to understand this statement by going to another verse. Allah says, فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا أَدُوٌ لَكْ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. What is the meaning of the verse? O Adam, this, again, the demonstrative pronoun, this, meaning he's pointing to Shaitan. Allah is pointing to Shaitan. He was right there in the form of a being. Adam could see Shaitan. Shaitan can come in any form. He says, this is an enemy to you and your wife.
Do not let him drive you out of the garden, for you will be put to toil. Now, what is the meaning of this? In other words, if Adam ate from the tree, he would begin his trial. Put to toil means begin your trial. And beginning your trial, didn't I mention last time that the earth is a difficult place? وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Mankind was created to dwell in difficulty. So Adam would begin his difficulty, right? Isn't that a burden to a human being? To be in difficulty? It is. It is a burden. So you are beginning a responsibility. In other words, you are making yourself unjust. And that's the meaning of فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you eat from the tree, you will be of the unjust, meaning you are putting yourself to a tremendous responsibility of going through the difficulty in order to purify yourself. Give me a salawat. So man, by nature, is ignorant and unjust. Now, why was he ignorant? Because at that time, he's still in darkness. Otherwise, there is no need for us to purify ourselves. Right? Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah promises the believer that I am going to guide you further with His special guidance, to guide you from darkness to light. Man, so long as man is ignorant, he is in darkness. When he attains the knowledge, he is now entering in light. As I mentioned yesterday, when you are escaping from evil towards Allah, towards good, you are tearing those curtains of darkness and entering the light, right? So man is ignorant. He was ignorant of the fact that this responsibility can make him a disbeliever. He was ignorant of the fact that this responsibility can make him a polytheist. And he was also ignorant of the fact that this trust, this responsibility can make him a believer. So, if man was not ignorant, he would have known the consequences of becoming unfaithful to this trust. He would have refused the trust. So therefore it shows that man has a responsibility of keeping the trust, and not only that, to represent Allah on the earth. Now what does this mean, brothers and sisters? And why I'm emphasizing on this verse? This verse is a discussion for those Hausa. Right, Brother Nazarani? This verse is not discussed ordinarily. But the reason I mention this is because this is appropriate to mention about this verse. Each and every one of us, when we are dealing with others, when we are dealing with people in the society, we should bear in mind we are representing our Lord. Does our Lord cheat? Tell me yes or no.
No.
Then we should not cheat. Does our Lord lie?
No.
No, then we should not lie. Right? Is our Lord merciful?
Yes,
then we should be merciful. You see? Each and every one of us, when we talk, when we speak, when I move my hand, I should think about Allah. Does Allah, is God pleased with me the way I'm moving my hand? Am I pointing at someone so that he gets offended? I should be worried. Because this is a responsibility. If I don't keep this responsibility, if I become unfaithful to this trust, the chances are I may become a disbeliever. Or I may become a polytheist. Or I may become a disobedient believer. Because a disobedient believer, according to the Quran, will face some punishment. Either here, or in the barzakh, in the period between this life and the hereafter, or the hereafter. Give me a salawat. Now, look at, we are all the representatives of God, according to this verse. Who is the better representative, other than the imam, whom I've already established as the rightful leaders? You see? The imam. They are representing God. You remember yesterday I say, Assalamu alaykum ya Sar Allah, peace be upon you, the blood of Allah. Why did I say the blood of Allah? Because when they were talking, it was God who is talking through their mouth. When they were looking, it was God, metaphorically, not physically, God looking through their eyes. When they were hearing, it was God hearing through their ears. When they were moving their hand, it was God moving through their hands, metaphorically. Meaning, they are the true representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, a true representative when he sees injustice. Because the responsibility, the trust, it means to represent God. And God, everything that comes from God is good. And justice is synonymous with good. Injustice is synonymous with evil. Because when you see injustice, you will say that action is evil. When you see justice, you will say that action is good. Right? So we need to establish justice on the earth. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, a time came, even though Imam Hassan signed the treaty, and by the way, we're going to discuss about this, inshallah, in the next few days. Imam Hassan, according to one report written, when he was asked about signing the treaty with Muawiyah, he said, I did what Khidr did, as mentioned in the Quran, putting a hole in the boat. And we will discuss about this, right? So Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he sees so much injustice that now there is the religion of Islam and there is an illegitimate dynasty, the Umayyad dynasty, the dynasty is trying to absorb this religion of Islam, this beautiful religion of Islam. Right? فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا Allah says in Surah Al-Rum, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ This is the beautiful religion of Islam. It is natural. It conforms to nature. That if no one was concealing the truth, mankind would automatically be attracted to the beautiful religion of Islam. It is because our leaders are concealing the truth, preventing us from knowing the truth. It's natural for man to be attracted, to move towards Islam. Natural. Imam al-Hussein is looking at the religion and how it is being played with these leaders who are usurping the mantle of Khilafah. So what do you think? You think it's not his responsibility to bring justice? He being the representative, if he did not come up with the uprising, what would have happened about the trust that Allah is talking about in Surah Al-Ahzab? The trust that he has to be faithful to. That is why when he was telling Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, don't stop me. This is the command of Allah. Every verse in the Quran is the command of Allah. And we, the people of the Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of the Prophet, we are supposed to abide by his command. We can never violate his command. And his command is full of wisdom. So rightfully so, he set the uprising. Salawatullah Muhammad. Now, when we talk about the purpose of such gathering, right? And we say, you shed a few tears, you are promised amazing things. Forgiveness of your sins, right? You are promised an honorable entering in Jannah, not only that. Higher levels of Jannah, not only that. Remember we discussed companionship with the holy souls, the pure souls of the messengers, the prophets, and the rightful leaders after the prophets, the last prophet. All that we are promised, right? And we mentioned that there must be some conditions for us to comply in order to be promised those rewards based on the Quran. Because there is no one who should come here and tell you that, look, you recite this or you do this and you will get this. You know, sometimes, you know, most of you know this, we are told to recite a certain surah for a certain benefit, right? And we should not only recite that surah throughout our life. We should recite the whole Quran. But sometimes emphasis is placed on certain surahs depending on problems the person is experiencing. For example, Surah Al-Waqir is recommended to be recited after Maghrib prayers. And according to the riwayah, it says that whoever recites Surah Al-Waqir after Maghrib prayers, God will ensure that such a person will never be in a debt. How many of you have heard that? Most of you, right? And like that, there are so many other surahs, right? So they say, for example, قَرَأَ سُرَةُ الْفَجْرِ Read Surah Al-Fajr, and you will be raised on the Day of Judgment with your imams, especially Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Can you imagine that, subhanAllah? Surah Al-Fajr. Now, so some people say, wow, just reciting Surah Al-Fajr, I'll be raised with him, and then I can go and commit any sins. And then look at the etymology of Qara'a. You know, Qur'an means, comes from the word Qira'a, which means a book which is read. That's why it's called Qur'an. When the Prophet received the first revelation, Iqra, read. So here it says, Qara'a Surah Al-Fajr. You know what's the root word of qara? It means to become. So actually the riwayah says, become Surat al-Fajr. And of course, if we become Surat al-Fajr, meaning if we read Surat al-Fajr and understand the message and become that which is required according to the surah, obviously I will be raised with the imam. This is the meaning. So we need to make sure that anyone who says anything that about this such a gathering that we are going together to commemorate the martyrdom of this imam, and it has been promised that we will get Jannah if we cry even a little bit, we should understand from the perspective that there is certain thing that has to take place for you to achieve that reward. And I mentioned last time, right, and I'm repeating this again because I don't have the time. There was another verse that I was going to cover, but I don't have the time. Inshallah, I will do it tomorrow. But I say that, look, what did Karbala teach us? Karbala taught us how to become pious. Karbala taught us how to establish justice. Karbala taught us not to give in to oppression and injustice. Right? And Karbala also taught us to be kind, to be generous, and not to fear death. As Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he was praising his companions, he said, look, these are the companions who will not run away from death. You know, after he turned off the lights, we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about this. He turned off the lights and turned on the lights again. He asked some of his companions, why didn't you not leave? You know what they said? Look, Muslim ibn Awsajah, after his family spoke, the companion started speaking. Muslim ibn Awsajah said, O Imam, even if these enemies cut my body into 1,000 pieces and scatter my body parts all over the desert, and Allah were to resurrect me again, and they were to do the same thing again, and then God were to resurrect me again. Imagine, can you say such a thing? Do we have the evidence? Now, you know, when we are talking about these companions, tonight we are going to talk about Habib ibn Mazahir. An 8-year-old man, who was the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companion of Imam Ali, fighting so many battles. So many battles. Okay? A faithful companion, Habib ibn Mazahir, from the Asadi tribe, living in Kufa at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and also fighting with him in so many battles. Not only that, when Muslim ibn Aqil reached Kufa to ascertain the invitation that Imam al-Hussein received from the Kufans, you all know that. Initially, before Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad arrived in Kufa, Muslim ibn Aqil and Muslim ibn Awsajah al-Asadi, because they are both from the same tribe, I believe, they started organizing the supporters for Muslim ibn Aqil, bringing them together, explaining them the mission of al-Hussein. That al-Hussein, Imam al-Hussein, is coming here to establish a just society. The trust I'm talking about, brothers. Inna aradana al-amana ala samawati wal-ard. It's the responsibility of the true representatives of God to establish just. He did not decline to the invitation, Imam al-Hussein. He said, let me give it a try. If the people want me, I will go. So initially, Habib ibn Mazahir and Muslim ibn Awsajah, they were helping Muslim ibn Aqil to organize support. The moment the Mal'un entered, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the illegitimate son of Ziyad. Why? Because Ziyad, as I mentioned, performed fornication, illicit behavior with another woman in the desert. You know, this woman was looking for water, according to historians, in the desert. And he came across Ziyad, the father of Ubaidullah. He says, can you offer me water? He had water with him. He said, I will only offer you water if you do that evil thing with me. And the woman had no choice because she was dying. And the child who was born is this Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who is now trying to massacre the family of the grandson of the Prophet. As I mentioned, anything evil is unjust. Anything good is justice. When this Mal'un entered Kufa pretending to be Imam al-Hussein, he fooled everyone, most of the people there. But Habib ibn Mazahir and Muslim ibn Awsajah realized the danger. You know what? Look at this personality. Habib ibn Mazahir, he says to Muslim ibn Awsaj, he says, you know, we can die today and tomorrow. We can join Muslim ibn Aqil right now, and Ubaidullah has threatened anyone who is found supporting Muslim ibn Aqil will be killed, will be beheaded. Not only him, and his whole family will be beheaded. So right now we can achieve shahada. You know what they're saying? They say, if we join Muslim ibn Aqil now, who is going to support Al-Hussein? Who? They were thinking about Imam Hussein. So they wanted to preserve themselves, brothers and sisters. They wanted to preserve for a greater cause. And by the way, some scholars have written, some historians have written, that these were not ordinary companions, brothers and sisters. Not ordinary. You know, Muslim ibn Habib ibn Mazahir, some historians have written that he used to read the whole Quran in one night. He knew the Quran inside and out. When Allah says, those righteous people who remember Allah, who truly remember Allah, are such people. So when we discuss, when we are talking about Habib ibn Mazahir, we are not just supposed to feel remorseful or to feel grieved about his death. No. We have to look at ourselves and say, how can we become Habib ibn Mazahir tonight? We need to have a revolution within our body, our spirit. We have done so well with our body, with our physical body. We look so fit. We can make so much money. But what's the use when our spirits are dead? So brothers and sisters, tonight when we hear about the story of Habib ibn Mazahir, we are supposed to emulate the companions of Imam al-Hussein. So he's saying, I want to preserve my body. I want to preserve myself for al-Hussein. And all men. He fought so many battles with the Prophet. So many. He fights so many battles with Imam Ali. And still he wants to fight for the sake of Allah. Fi sabilillah. Can you imagine an 80-year-old man? So they preserve themselves. They go into hiding. It's so sad. They go into hiding. And then Imam Hussein sends an invitation to Habib ibn Mazahir because he knows him so well. He knows that he used to fight with his father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, in the Battle of Siffin, in the Battle of Jamal, and all the other battles, the Battle of Khaybar, where Imam Ali pulled down a huge entrance gate, a whole gate, because he was Tar Allah, the blood of Allah. So he sends him an invitation. The moment he gets the invitation, he says, who will not respond to your call? Ya Aba Abdullah, who? As Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa li rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Because he knew the Quran inside out. He says, when you call me, it is as good as the messenger calling me. And if the messenger calls me, it is as good as Allah calling me towards him to answer his call. Why? Because if we don't answer the call of the messenger, and we don't answer the call of Allah, our hearts will come on the day of judgment dead. That's why Allah says, لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ, so that you become alive on the day of judgment. And then you qualify for the reward that Allah has promised. So Habib ibn Mazahir and Muslim ibn Awsaj, in the middle of the night, they leave Kufa, risking all the possibility of being killed, because Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad sent spies everywhere. He said, don't allow anyone to leave Kufa. Can you imagine? Such a ruthless person. So Habib ibn Mazahir arrives in Karbala, and Imam Hussein embraces him. He says, Ya Habib, you have delighted my soul. You have answered my call. This is what Imam said. Hal min nasiri yansuruna. For us, brothers and sisters, we have to answer his call. The only way to answer his call, brothers and sisters, is first to purify ourselves. We cannot just go and fight. We will be scared. We will run away like chickens. Imagine if we were living in the time of Ubaydullah ibn Zayd. We would have all run away like chickens. We would be afraid. So first we need to purify ourselves. Hal min nasri yansuruna. Who is there to help me? Imam Hussein did not need help in Karbala. Allah promised him all the help. But it is for us to realize, brothers and sisters. So Habib ibn Mazahir is made the commander of the left wing of Imam Hussein's army. And when the time came for him to go and fight in the battle, you know, he fights like a hero. And finally he gives up his life. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to him and says, Ya Habib, he said, Ya Habib, I'm going to complain to Allah. What did they do to you and all men like you? I will take my complaint to my Lord on the day of judgment. And all men like you, the companion of Rasulullah, you actually saw the messages coming down. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Fatimah al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa'il Alameen. Mahtam Hussain.